All right, we are back. We are in action. It's the Enduro World Series round four wrap up. Super Enduro, of course, all the way. Enrico Guala putting that together. And we are off track. Again, off track podcast. We've been offline a little bit here. And again, if you caught the last one, we actually missed a bunch of races due to life getting in the way. We're hanging out on a patio right now. Beautiful Whistler, BC. Sun's going down. And I'm Tristan Merrick. And joining me today, I was cruising through the bike park the other day, going to go do some Broduro laps myself, and I ran into none other than the man, the Kiwi legend, Wynn Masters. Wynn, how are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, man, I can't complain. It's high 30-degree weather here, which is a bit rare for Whistler. Usually it's a little lower, so it's hot, sunny days, making for some good scenery down at the lake, I have to say.
Yeah, I haven't got down to the lake yet, but I'll have to put that on the schedule.
Definitely. Midday. That's the lap of the day. Go down and check out Rainbow Park. But as I was saying, yeah, cruising through the bike park. Was going to go do a ride the other night. And I was like, holy crap, Wynn Masters. What the heck's he doing in town here? So what are you doing in Whistler right now?
Pretty much had a bit of time before Monson End. So I thought I might as well come over here and get some good training in and get some good downhill time. And like, I went home for a week and then come here. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Not Crankworks training, you're not crushing too many cold adult beverages in the evening?
Nah, not too much yet.
it's pretty easy to get away with it. So yeah, I mean, how are things been? I know you've only been here a couple of days, but it must feel pretty good to be here when it's not Crankworks, a little more relaxed, eh?
Yeah, it's awesome to be back here and not too many people, so it's quite nice to get some good runs in and do some riding with friends and that, so it's been cool.
Ride Don't Slide, you've already got it in the books?
Yeah, got it in the books tonight, and it was a good ride. I had to stop, the old arms were feeling it a couple of times after a big day of riding, but it was good fun.
Yeah, definitely not a, it's changed a bunch over the years. You were saying the last time you rode it was in 09, and yeah, it's definitely a little more hard pack, a little more rooted out, and yeah, if you don't know what's coming up over some of those crests, all of a sudden there's some good sized roots that'll send you on your ass if you're not careful.
Yeah, I had a couple of moments actually on the few of the crests, just coming in a bit fast and then not knowing what's on the other side, getting a bit wild, but it was good fun.
Yeah, definitely, it's nothing wrong with a little RDS lap. So I mean, we're going to wrap up some Enduro talk here, and let's just get straight into it, and then we'll get into what's been going on with you. So, I mean, it's almost hereditary. You are the brother of the man that is Enduro, the spirit of Enduro, under over Eduro. But you're not really much of an Enduro rider yourself, though, are you?
I actually raced Enduro in January and a couple of Enduros in New Zealand, but haven't done any since because kind of overlaps the downhill thing a bit, and it's quite busy this year anyway, so try and have a break when I can, sort of thing. So otherwise hopefully next year try and do some, but not quite at the level of my brother yet, you know. He's the spirit.
He is the spirit over and under. He knows exactly how to make the rules work in his favor. So yeah, I mean, shame the schedule doesn't work a little bit better, but I mean, that's I guess the way things go. Dear UCI, please make things work better so riders can do more rather than less. But, yeah, so round four just happened, a little different. We did not see Jared Graves on the podium. You've been around a long time. You've probably followed Graves at one point or another as a young Kiwi looking at the Aussie. If he's been there, done it all. Not a podium for him, and he was kind of the guy that was pegged to win. What's your take on not seeing him on the box at the end of the day?
I think maybe it was pretty technical out there at that race, and I don't know, like some of the steeper, gnarly stuff doesn't suit him so much. He's like a really, he likes the really fast stuff and goes well on that. But yeah, it's kind of a surprise to not see him there, but he's still putting a pretty consistent ride, so he's still leading.
He is still leading. He is still leading. And actually looking at the points right now, though, he's not leading by much. He's only got a 30-point margin, and that's because the man who pulled the win last week there at the Super Enduro, Damien Autain, doing it for the Da Vinci team, pulling a first place, and as you guys recall, in round three in Valor, he pulled a second place. So he was close, but no cigar. last round, and now he actually got the win. So what do we know about him? Not really too much. I tried Googling him. He's French. His Twitter's in French. His website's in French. Not to be a naive North American, but he's French, so I don't really know much about him. Do you know anything about him, Wynn?
No, I think he's French, but yeah, he seems to be riding well, and he's only getting stronger in the last few races, so he's pretty much a force to be reckoned with now.
Yeah, you nailed it there. I mean, confidence is coming on. Francois Bailey-Mettry, he got in second place there. And then Joe Barnes squeaking in that third place position. Cool to see him doing it now that obviously Fabian's not racing this year, doing it for the Canyon team and pulling through with the charge. In the girls' side, though, three in a row, Tracy Mosley really putting a stamp of approval, I think, on what's going on this year, beating ACC and Cecile. I mean, what do you have to say about that? Three in a row, she was down after the first day, clawing back 40 seconds on the first stage of the second day, and all because she decided to ride slower up to the stage so she didn't have to wait in the snow and the wind up top.
Yeah, well, she's pretty much unstoppable at the moment, and I think she's even putting a few of the guys to shame, really. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shake-up.
I'm a little worried myself. If Crankworx EWS doesn't go as planned for me, I could be getting chicked quite easily, because I know I've been looking at the results. You do the transfer over, and you're like, huh, she's in the top 60 overall, and that's her. So, I mean, 40 seconds to in one stage, that is a ass-whooping and a half. So pretty cool to see that. So that round done and dusted there. I mean, again, congrats to Damien pulling through, brand new win. Biggest thing, though, next is they are coming North American. They are coming over here. We got Winter Park next weekend, and then we've got EWS Whistler after that, and then a huge break before finale. Because you do the World Cups, what's your take? When you get out of Europe and you're coming North American, is there a different mindset? I mean, obviously we know the tracks are quite a bit different, but what's the thing for you as a World Cup-level rider you look forward to most when you come to North America?
I think it's quite good because it kind of takes the Europeans out of their comfort zone a bit. So it works kind of well in the favor of the Aussies or Kiwis and guys from America as well. So it'll be interesting, and I think Graves will come back in Winter Park and put it on top.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I mean, Graves is Graves. I was over at Tweed Love earlier this year and just watching him in action. It's He's a force to be reckoned with. He's a man that's always can be. He should be up at the top there. It's maybe interesting to see him struggle a little bit this year. I think as soon as our man Jerome Clement said he was broke his collarbone there and wasn't going to make any more rounds, everybody assumed that Graves was going to walk away with it. But 30-point lead in the overall over Damien is not very much. Justin Leov sitting in third overall at 1,540 points. Had things not gone the way they did in round three, where he's leading almost the entire weekend, he'd be battling out up front as well. So, enduro done. Wynn, let's get into some stuff about you. What's been going on? How's the season been so far for you?
Season's probably been pretty tough for me so far. Just been putting in solid rides, but not really getting the results that I wanted. Just little mistakes and little things adding up and not really getting what I want. But it's coming on, and we're getting there so far. Like, just been working on a new bike the last few weeks. Well, last month or so, we got a new bike. We got 27.5, so we just got that set up, and now it's running really good. And hopefully come on, put some good rides in at Montsenan and Wyndham.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's almost a good thing you're here. A little bit of fresh air, a little bit of change of pace. You know, ride your bike, hang out in Whistler, have some soda pops. And then, yeah, get right at her for the two North American rounds there. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear Mount St. Anne, though?
It's fast and rough, pretty much. And you just got to hang on to the back of it and let it go, really. It's tight times as well, so, yeah.
Anything new with the track this year, as far as you know? Or is it the same routing, maybe a little bit of dirt here, chicane there kind of thing?
I haven't heard anything about Mount St. Anne, so I hope they've done something to it to try and mix it up a bit, but we'll see what happens.
And then Wyndham, what's the first thing that comes to mind from down at Wyndham there?
Wyndham's really tight, so you got to really put it on the line and not make any mistakes. It's so close. Yeah.
And you said you're in Whistler here training. What's your thought? Maybe we can get you late entry into the Ironman next weekend. You could, you know, don some swimming lycra and cross the lake, and then maybe do a 180K road ride before doing a marathon. What do you think? That could be a little prep before Mount St. Anne?
I might be able to do the road ride, but I don't think I could manage the getting across the lake in a doggy paddle. But the run would probably blow my shins out. So I think I'll just do the road ride.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I would drown before I even make it to the dock off the beach there, and that's without having having anything. Those guys are crazy. I mean, the aero helmet and everything like that. I mean, it's the tight clothes aero helmet. You think you're watching world champs from world champion French rider Nicolas Vulot's back in the day, but nope, just an Ironman. So. So yeah, a bit of a tough season so far, but you know, still a few more rounds to go, still a few more things to do, new bike to go. Maybe for everybody at home, tell us all about Win TV, because what is that? Where did it stem from? I think that's pretty much one of the best things going right now at each and every round. That and Warner's, you know, little walk around at the finish line, you know, catching everybody off guard, being a bit of a smartass. So,
well, I pretty much try and do the same sort of thing, but yeah, it kind of started like 2009, just doing my own videos and stuff, and then from then on just started doing a few interviews here and there at races, and not too serious but with a bit of serious as well, so could try and mix it up a bit and catch people off guard, really. Old G didn't like it too much, but everyone else enjoyed that he didn't like it, so it's good.
Yeah, G, maybe taking things a little too serious at times there, and I don't know, I look forward to every time they come out. I mean, The only thing that you have that I don't have is you have a banana or use your water bottle for a microphone, and I've actually got a proper microphone. So maybe I'll have to upgrade to Win TV standards here and somehow, you know, just start interviewing people with a banana in their hand there. So, yeah, I mean, is Win TV something you see as, like, just a fun little thing, or do you want to see that maybe grow later on and, you know, you making six figures with it and, you know, Lambos and hoes kind of thing?
Yeah, I've already got the Lambos in house, so yeah, just keep it going, really, and hopefully it grows a bit later on. But yeah, just got a thing going with Dirt Magazine and doing every race this year, so it's quite cool, and it's good for my sponsors as well, trying to be out there and, like, be seen sort of thing, so it's quite cool.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing, right, is most kids just think, you know, you can ride a bike and that's about it, but being a multi-talented athlete and bringing a lot to the brands, I mean, that's pretty much the most important thing to get a World Cup level ride nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually really hard to get a ride. Like, a lot of fast guys that haven't got much of a ride or like, they're just getting product and they're still paying money to go to the races, and, like, for me, that's pretty shitty, but you kind of got to cover all the bases and do a bit of everything, not just race, and then race well at the same time as well. So it's pretty hard.
It's not easy. You don't have to just deal with the race itself. It's off the bike as well. Mad Dog, how's Mad Dog doing? Because last time I chatted to Sven about him, he had missed his flight, or I forget exactly what it was. He'd lost his passport or something. He'd gotten on the flight. Then they thought his bags were a bomb or something like that. No, the bags got on the flight. The bags went somewhere. He didn't get on the flight, so they actually had to turn around the flight after South Africa. How's he doing? He's still alive? Any more shitty tattoos?
Not yet. He has got a little deal going with Joe Bowman, and they've got to try and get the most followers on Instagram. And at the moment, Mad Dog's well behind, so the deal is that they get each other's name tattooed, the loser does. So Mad Dog are probably getting some more shitty tattoos soon.
For all of you at home, make sure you follow him. I think it's at Mad Dog
Boris. Yeah.
At Mad Dog Boris. Make sure you guys follow him. Help him out here. I'm sure he won't be too disappointed with another shit tattoo, but he's been keeping the wheels greased for you this year and keeping you in the right direction.
Yeah, actually getting a bit better at the old photography, and he gets me some good photos every race, so it's pretty cool, and get photos straight after the runs, so it's cool. He's been a good laugh this year, so it's been good.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to get him back in town here for Crankworks after meeting him last year, just seeing how pumped he was for for an event that, you know, I've seen here for the last 9 years. It's he's a good guy. So, but I think we're gonna wrap things up with you here. We're gonna get on to our next guest, Jesse Milliman. But we want to thank you. Thanks for coming in, and obviously you're riding for the Bulls team there, and hopefully the bike testing and everything else goes good in the next couple weeks, and everything continues on for the rest of the year. Any final thoughts?
Just thanks for having me on, and thanks for Team Bulls for helping me out and keeping me on track.
Definitely. Well, that's Wynn Masters there on the Off Track Show. Again, for all you guys at home, check us out on Twitter, off_track MTB. And you can find us online for free on iTunes. It's off_track pre-race show. Download, subscribe, and it'll just go straight on to your phone or Android-based device. And as I said, we're going to get into our next guest right now. We got Jesse Milliman on the phone all the way from France. All right, Jesse Milliman. We've got him on the line. He's doing it for the Rocky Mountain Urge team. He's hanging out in France right now at the unofficial team headquarters. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, man. So, coming off your 2014 best right now, getting 13th place last weekend. How's it feel to bounce back? I mean, you got a DNF the race before and then a 13th, which is a season high. How are you feeling right now?
Oh, I feel amazing. Yeah, it was super, super good to have that. You know, we all want to do as good as we can. And I was feeling really fast in practice all week leading up to it. So it was really cool to see that the times back it up. And yeah, I'm stoked to be 13th and kind of be getting closer to that top end of the field there.
Yeah, and I mean, I've known you a little while. I know what your riding is, and how well you can ride. Is it just something that you felt you've been on the cusp all year, and it just finally clicked, what was going through your head that just got you this result in the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. Like, enduro is just such a, you know, you have to have so many different skills and so much is involved in it. And you know, I definitely think I have the skill. The thing that I know that I don't have, you know, in Whistler we have tight, techy trails, nothing fast and wide open. So that's something I don't have. I don't have the balls to just turn the brain off and go super fast. So Valois, even if I didn't DNF, I probably would have been a little off the back there. But here it was, you know, it was more like what I'm used to in the trees, kind of a little bit tighter, and just, you know, built-in trails that you can kind of just rally a bit more. And you know, if you do make a mistake, there's something to catch you out. So yeah, I just felt like I was able to get up to speed really quickly. Practice was awesome, and I was just having a ton of fun there. I felt really good on my bike, and the trails were awesome, and it was really fun. And yeah, so I just put it all together really, and it was really fun.
I got a laugh actually, because you saying that you don't have the balls, yet you are undefeated so far in the Sea to Sky Enduro series, which, you know, a great little series but a little bit smaller. You are the fastest Canadian. You are one of the top North Americans, as much as Sven and everybody jokes, who's the top fastest American? You are one of the fastest North Americans, you know, beside Curtis Keene and Adam Craig. And you say you don't have the balls, yet you clearly do, because, you know, last year at EWS Whistler, you got sixth place. So you have a bit of speed there, I think. Don't sell yourself short on that.
Well, I'm doing what I can, you know. I mean, just trying to make up in areas that I excel in. You know, I've got pretty good fitness. I mean, all the guys are obviously super strong. And I really think it is just, you know, kind of just tight and techy skill is what I can get away with. And I'm super small and nippy, so I can kind of get through tight sections a lot quicker than most people. So I really just try to play to my strengths and kind of hold back in the fast sections, because I don't want to crash. I want to make it through the season alive and have a good consistent season. So yeah, I mean, obviously, I guess I'm not really slow if I'm over here racing, but I could definitely be faster. There's times at this weekend even that I know I was on the brakes and I could have let off a little bit. But you know, my plan this year was just to go slow, and I mean, not slow, but just consistent. You know, I wanted to kind of back off a bit and just be 95% the whole time rather than just blowing out.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, it is your sophomore year. You did one EWS or one and a quarter EWSs last year. I mean, you're sitting 27th overall at the halfway point. Sum up the first half of your season.
With a DNF too.
Pardon?
With a DNF too.
Yeah, that's true. So you've got three out of four races you finished there. You got the one DNF, and you're sitting 27th overall in your sophomore season. I mean, In one sentence, sum up your first half of the season so far.
It's just gone according to my game plan, really. Barring Valoir, the flat, I just really wanted to get consistent results all season for a good overall at the end of the season. So, yeah.
So now we are going into the second half of the season, and we're coming back to North America, the land of the home and the free, and and big mountains and everything like that. What are you most excited about coming back? Coming back stateside and coming back to your hometown where there is going to be a race in August.
Yeah, I think it's just the style of racing and riding. I loved all the races we've done in Chile and Scotland and France and Italy. But, your riding is gnarly. It is fast and open. And like I said, I'm not used to riding that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to get back to more familiar territory and have some fun. There'll be a lot of people that I haven't raced with since last year. So that'll be really fun too as well. Going to Colorado, especially, there's a bunch of guys that I haven't seen in a long time. So that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the next round is quite a bit of elevation difference compared to where you guys have been at, just in terms of your starting elevation. Is the team flying in a little bit early to kind of acclimatize to what's going on down there? Or are you guys just kind of...
Yeah, I think the way these races are situated, most people are going to be doing that. We're going a little bit earlier than usual. We're flying in on the Monday when, for all these races, I've been flying in on kind of the Wednesday or the Thursday. So they say you need kind of 2 weeks to acclimatize. So it's not like we can really get super acclimatized to it. Everyone's going to be struggling out there. Just another thing you have to battle, really.
Yeah, and I mean, that's sweet. You guys are going to fly on Monday. So we're looking here. You guys, your team, the Rocky Mountain Urge team, sitting second overall in the team standings.
Yeah.
That's got to be kind of a pretty cool feeling for you guys, because, it's a brand new team this year. The first team you're sitting in first is the Trek World Racing. So, that's no joke when you're playing around with a large-scale team like that. It's got to be pretty cool. You guys got such a group of amazing riders from Florian Nicolai and everybody else there. Is it a great team surroundings? I know you're kind of the outsider, being the Canadian that is not French.
Yeah. No, honestly, it's awesome. Especially, for me, I've been with Rocky for 7 or 8 years now, grassroots and just kind of riding Rocky, and I love the brand, and it's really cool to see us finally back, on the top steps of the podium and show that, they're making bikes that can withstand the best and go up there with the best of them. And yeah, we got a really good team. Alex and Flo obviously stepped it up huge from last year. They were fast last year, but this year there's another level. And Isabeau as well. She's doing super well in the women's, and I'm just there, in case anyone has a problem, I'm there to get points. So it's a really cool team, and the atmosphere is awesome, and most of them speak English, and I'm okay at French, so, we don't really, it's not really quiet around the pits, we're still bantering and having fun all day.
You guys are a young team, which is cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, you guys are probably not taking things too serious, it's...
I wouldn't say that, I think at this level, for me, that's as serious as I can be, really. I'm having fun for sure, but it's definitely my life and my career that I want to do for the next 10 years. So I'm taking it serious, and I know with how strong Alex, Isabeau, and Flo are that they're definitely taking it seriously.
Yeah, it's more saying that you're still, a student as well, and I don't know about the rest of your teammates, but you're not you are a full-time professional, but at the same time, as we saw earlier this year, you guys are you and Nick Geddes, and you guys are cramming for finals while you were down in Chile there. So you're still, divvying up your time.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of when you're at the race and you're racing, you're serious, but when you can be laid back, we are for sure. And yeah, I wouldn't say I was able to put 100% effort in this winter, because obviously I have school, and Alex as well is doing engineering as well in Paris over the winter, so he's in school. So yeah, we have a young team, and I would love to stay on this team and see it continue the way it is for a good time, and see what can come of it, because I really think we could be on that top step.
Yeah, definitely. And so now that we're coming back North America side, your best result ever happened to be your first EWS last year, getting sixth at Whistler. That's got to be on your mind a little bit, coming back into your hometown race, born and bred here. any sort of, you know, you just take it as every other race, or do you have something you want to prove? You want to back that up and get onto the box, or what's your mindset coming back into your hometown?
Yeah, you know, obviously I've thought about it a lot. That was an amazing race last year, and you know, it couldn't have really gone any better. So this year, you know, I definitely think I personally will go a lot faster and do better, but the level of competition here that we've seen it these first four rounds, it's crazy. There's way more guys out there, and they're all super fast. So, you know, I'm honestly not expecting to improve my result, because I don't know if it's possible, really. There's just so many good guys. So I'll do every other race, approach it the same way. It'll be probably a little bit more out of control, because I'll have people cheering for me. So, you know, I just want to get loose for them and have a good time.
Not to be biased on my end, but I got you down for a stage win, definitely, that day.
That is definitely a goal. Yeah, that's on my mind. And, yeah, just same game plan, you know, 95%. Take it easy so I don't blow up, and just, you know, push where I can and see what happens, really. I wouldn't be disappointed to be, you know, outside the top 10, just because I know what the level is. And I know everyone who cheers me on, they wouldn't be disappointed either. I got the race last year. It's not like I'm going to stop there, but... You know, I show that I can be up there, so we'll see what happens. I'm just looking forward to racing in my hometown and having my family there, because, it's different when you're halfway across the world from your family that have been racing with you my whole life.
Yeah, so. It's exactly right. All of a sudden, it's you'll be pinning it down here, and everybody knows who you are on track, kind of, rather than only, you know, you hear your name a little bit here and there. It's mm-hmm. It's such a crazy feeling when, you know, you're pinned down and people are like, Jesse, yeah, pin it. So yeah. It should be good. I mean, that's coming up real quick here. So, but yeah, we just wanted to touch base with you at the off-track show and just see how the first bit's going. We wanted to have a bit of a North American flavor in this week's show here, as we're coming back over here, and we wish you all the best down in Colorado and everything. So
thanks a lot.
Should be a good race for you, and keep pinning it, keep doing what you do, and keep getting those consistent results.
I will. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Wicked. Thanks very much, Jesse. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Boom! Just like that, Jesse Melamed sending it to flat. Except on a short travel bike, unlike Canadian rider Steve Smith sending it to flat, doing it the Chainsaw Massacre that he is. So Jesse, though, cool to see him getting a lot of props and getting a lot of publicity in the media right now. So very cool to see, and a very strong result. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen at now that they're back in North America. See what he can do down at Winter Park, Colorado, there next weekend. And then, of course, what is he going to do at EWS Whistler, the Crankworks, the big stadium stage? That race is shaping up to be a doozy, and I don't doubt, I don't put it past him. Stage win for that kid, and who knows, top three, I think, is definitely within his grasp if everything falls into place, all the checkers fall into place, but that's the case for everybody. Everybody's a top three threat, and as long as everything works out perfectly. So we'll just have to play the waiting game and see what happens. So with that, though, let's get straight into our other North American guest here. We got Joey Schuessler. He's down in Boulder, Colorado right now, and he just wrapped up what is arguably, you know, one could call it training. Others will just call it one badass trip, and that's what he is. He's one badass rider. Let's go straight into the conversation with him now. All right, we have got the man, the myth, the Colorado legend. We got Joey Schuessler from the Yeti Fox team on the line right now. Joey, how's it doing?
It's going good, man. Having a great summer and enjoying some big mountain bike adventures as well as some racing.
Yeah, so let's get straight into it. One, I mean, A, you just finished what is pretty much the most badass adventure out there, and make most mountain bikers, you seem like you do whatever you want to do, and you can climb mountains, but at the same time, it's almost training. What did you just get up to? Because I saw some numbers saying that you just climbed 90,000 feet in the past week and a bit.
Yeah, I've been planning out this adventure for 3 or 4 years now, and it's the whole Colorado Trail, which starts in Denver and finishes here in Durango. And over the years, I've ridden a bunch of different segments here and there, just on little day rides. But to link it all together was quite the experience and definitely the biggest challenge I've ever undertaken on a bike. But definitely something that was pretty eye-opening, even after living in Colorado my whole life.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy what you got up to. I mean, just to you've done all this stuff. You decided to link it together, and but you're no kind of stranger to all these trips, right? I mean, you did stuff last year down in Peru, correct?
Yeah. Earlier in the year, we took a big trip down to Peru, and that was kind of our first foray into bigger bikepacking kind of style adventures. And this one just made sense because it's right in the backyard. But it was definitely a pretty big undertaking. Every day was pretty much just a suffer fest, but we got to the top of some pretty incredible trails and some pretty massive descents every single day. So it was definitely worth it. And I guess training in a way for enduro, but maybe not the best form of training, but definitely makes you strong and gets you out there on the bike.
Yeah, so what started the fire to start doing these self-supported mountain bike trips? And I mean, you do ski touring too as well, right? You did a pretty big race in the wintertime, but where does this all stem from? Is this just some desire you've always had? Has it been, did you grow up in a family that has kind of that pushed you this direction, and that's why you're doing it now?
Definitely wasn't the family. My parents are definitely not adventurers per se, but I don't know. It's just something I kind of got into, and definitely got into through ski touring, because that's a big part of the culture and scene there, is kind of doing these bigger style adventures. But not a whole ton of people are doing them on the bike, I guess. And it definitely opens up a lot of opportunities of what you can ride. You're not just riding what you can drive to. You're riding all these super remote trails that not many people get to ride. So for the experience part, it's pretty cool on that side of things. And just to keep pushing it and doing bigger ones is awesome for me. But I don't know. It's just, especially with the photo video stuff that I've been doing, it presents you with some really incredible opportunities to get photos and videos once you're, out there for 10, 11 days, just kind of in the zone and always looking to get the next photo or video. And I think coupling these trips with that is something really cool that not a lot of people are doing. So that's why I'm into it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you're combining two very big passions that you have in life there, your adventure and your creativity side. So where do you go next after this trip? Like, is there already something in the back burner that's going to, you've been planning a little bit and need some more logistic work, or is it, who knows, time for a little bit of R&R before you go back to the drawing board and push your limits and of what gear and yourself can handle?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with these big adventure trips, I don't think there's any on the docket for a little while. Obviously, after this, we have the Yeti Tribe gathering down here in Durango this weekend, and then the Winter Park EWS, and then we'll be up in Canada filming with Yeti for almost all of August. So that's pretty much what's on the docket next, but definitely this winter we'll plan out something huge and push the limits, no doubt.
Sounds like a pretty good summer. I shouldn't even say summer. It sounds like a pretty good job you got there, where you can working for the best company, where you can they're gonna send you to Canada for a month to ride your bike and film. I feel like I need a career change here all of a sudden.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely a good gig, and working with the whole crew at Yeti is awesome. I mean, it's definitely not easy, and it's a lot of work, but to get to do what you want to do every day is definitely awesome. So. Nice. Pretty thankful to be a part of that crew.
Well, let's get straight into racing here. I mean, the first, we're over halfway done the EWS now, and now we're back to North America. It's the North American show. We had Jesse Melamed on the show earlier on, and we've got actually Curtis Keene on next after you. So I was like, okay, let's encompass all three North American type of riders. We got Curtis, who's doing the full circuit. We got Jesse, who's the Canadian, and that's why I wanted to get you on, because you're no stranger to it. You did a couple of the EWSs last year, Colorado, you were definitely the buzz of the internet there, pulling a sixth place, and you were in contention had it been not for one stage where it kind of bumped you back a little bit. But how are you feeling right now going into kind of the, I guess I would say probably your biggest race of the season next week?
Yeah, no, it'll definitely be the biggest race of the season for me. And I don't know, as I said, like, racing isn't my primary focus, you know, kind of getting out on these bigger film video trips is probably my biggest focus. But when the EWS comes to Colorado, you can guarantee I'll be gunning for the top spot up there and looking for another good result this year. You know, I haven't been racing a whole ton this year, but yeah, that race has definitely been on my mind ever since it happened last year. So definitely doing some last minute preparations now, and when the circus rolls to town, I'll definitely be pushing in every stage and hopefully pull out another good result. And just really looking forward to it. That's definitely one of my favorite races of the year.
Well, definitely.
And, something that's really cool for me, just since, you know, racing World Cup downhill for a few years and seeing the whole enduro scene, to have a world level race at home is huge for me. So definitely excited about it.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly with that there. I mean, it's the same feeling for myself and Whistler. It's I don't race much anymore, but it's and I never did the World Cup stuff, but it's, yeah, when the biggest race comes to your backyard, it doesn't, you know, you just want to do the best of your ability. Obviously, your ability is far superior to what my ability is, but it's cool. I mean, yeah, you got six last year, and I mean, the fire must still burn deep if that's you've been thinking about it since last year, and this is the one race where you want to be pulling out. But I know a lot of people last year were like, oh, you know, on the internet were saying, oh, you know, like, he's doing good because he's in Colorado, but you don't ride that neck of the woods, right? I mean, Colorado's a huge state. You're not hanging out exactly where all those stages are happening.
No. I mean, it's obviously a huge advantage just having it in Colorado, and I have ridden Winter Park many times and raced there before. But at the same time, I haven't been up there all year this year, and I'm not, you know, one of those guys that goes to the race venue like 3 weeks ahead of time and like checks all the tracks. You know, I'm kind of been doing my own thing all summer, and when the race comes to town, I'll roll up there and check it out and see the tracks when everyone else sees them. So definitely not milking that advantage like you see some people do, but there's definitely advantages that come with it, you know, just knowing the terrain, knowing the dirt, the elevation is huge, definitely knowing how to pace yourself when you're at 11, 12, 13,000 feet is huge. And yeah, I mean, you saw those things come into play last year, but yeah, I mean, it would be dumb not to use them to your advantage this year. I'm definitely going to use those all to my advantage, and hopefully help me out.
Nice. And then so to Canada for a month afterwards. Obviously, one, you're coming up for the Whistler EWS, but what has Yeti got in the works there to be paying you to hang out up there for a month and work on a project?
It's just another one of the Proven Here series videos that we're doing. I actually have one coming out really soon that you'll see next week or so here. And then
YetiCycles.com?
Yeah, it'll be on YetiCycles.com and, you know, all the other main sites, Vital, Think Bike, Bike Mag, whatnot. You can see it there. But, yeah, it's just another one of the series videos for the Proven Here series that we're working on, and it'll be pretty cool. We're shooting it with Jared Graves, so it'll be cool to get him involved in one of those bigger, higher-end projects, since, those have mostly been just me and Craig Grant over the last couple of years. It'll be cool to get one of the other riders involved. It's definitely a lot of work to produce one of those pieces, so it'd be cool to do it with Jared and get something new on the table.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys already got a bit of a rough idea where you plan on going while you're up there, or just going with the flow?
Right now we're just kind of in the early planning stages, putting it together, but definitely looking forward to getting up in the Canadian Rockies and checking it out.
Nice. It should be a good one. I mean, we'll have to get you in the studio while you're up for the Whistler EWS and everything, though. I'm excited to see what you're going to produce. I mean, you're a jack of all trades. You're not just a mountain biker. You're not just working for the best company out there. You seem to be, you know, you got your finger on the pulse of a lot of cool different projects that seem to be letting you get paid to do exactly what you want to be doing, not having to sit behind the desk 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's always a battle to kind of find the right balance that works for everyone. But to find that and to be able to do what you want to do is definitely a great feeling.
Wicked. Joey, well, we want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on the Off Track Show, and we wish you all the best next week. We'll be paying extra close attention to the results and everything like that to see how you're doing, and we no doubt that sixth place last year is not a stroke of fluke luck or anything like that. We know you'll be back up there again, and hopefully getting up on that top box there, getting into the hanging out with the rest of the boys and hanging out with Jared on the box there.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Definitely looking forward to it, and thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks very much, Joey. Take her easy.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, what a badass Joey is. Not just riding bikes, not just racing bikes, but doing some massive self-supported cycling. Again, pretty crazy stuff. Make sure you follow him on Instagram, and you can keep up to date with everything that he's got going on there. Some pretty amazing trips he's done in the past 365 days, and definitely needs to rest the body now, and who knows what he's got lined up for the future. Pretty cool to see what he's getting up to. So, and let's just jump straight into our next guest. Last but certainly not least, he's the American Dream. He's doing it for On Track, not to be confused with what we're doing here at Off Track, but On Track, the Rebel Web Series. We've got Curtis Keene coming up next. Curtis Keene, what's going on, buddy?
Just got home from good old Euroland, so yeah, very happy. I don't have to go back till October, so I'm happy kid. Had a burrito as soon as I got home, and back in California. I'm getting ready for a short little trip, or 10 days in Colorado, so yeah, man, all is well.
Sweet. Well, which burrito place did you go to? What was your first stop when it comes to burritos? Are you a Chipotle guy, or what's your preference?
Well, I didn't get in till late, so my lady was kind enough to give me a burrito burrito before Chipotle closed. So, yeah, I went the Chipotle route, which is better than nothing. So normally there's a local joint in town, but yeah, that's the card I've dealt with.
Nice. She sounds like a keeper there, knowing the burrito shop closes but brings you one to the airport. Definitely a keeper, I think.
Yeah, airport food sucks. But yeah.
So we're now first half of the season's come and gone. We've chatted to you, and it's been a bit of an up and down year, starting off with a sickness and everything like that. But we're now back in North America. How stoked are you to begin with now?
Yeah, I'm real stoked. I don't have to really hop on a plane anymore. I really like Colorado. I've had success there along with Whistler Crankworks. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's a home court advantage. I don't live in these places, but I'm comfortable, and it's my homeland. So I'm stoked just like all the other North Americans. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the biggest thing too, right, your travel time is pretty quick and easy. I mean, from LA up to Vancouver is only about 3.5 hours, and then you got to drive up to Whistler. But you're not changing time zones too much. You're only changing an hour to Colorado. You're actually flying out to Colorado tomorrow. Is that just because there's nothing else on the docket, or is it part of the game plan to get used to the altitude there a little bit? Because you guys are jumping up in elevation compared to every other round so far this year.
Yeah, definitely nailed it. I live basically at the beach, so I'm at sea level once. So when I go to Colorado, I mean, I guess when everyone else goes to Colorado, we all suffer, except for the people who do live up in the mountains. So, yeah, just trying to get there early and acclimate a little bit and just hang out, man. I'm going to get there Thursday and just chill out Friday, maybe do a few laps. I'm actually going to help out Lee McCormack and do some skills with a group of people on Sunday. So that'll be fun, like a half day. So, yeah, most of all, get acclimated, hang out. Winter Park's just a cool little summit town, and I'm just going to ride some bikes here and there and just rest up and be fresh and acclimate as much as I can. starting Thursday.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit of a different environment there. I mean, as we've seen so far this year, especially the last round, you guys had some very adverse conditions that you had to deal with. I guess do you start looking at like the 2 week forecast before a race and to see what's coming up, or is it just, you know, a few days out you're like, well, whatever the weather's going to be before you pack your bag, you know, check to see if you need to bring a bit of extra warm weather and maybe a set of mud spikes, or how does your planning process go before you fly out for each race?
Well, when I'm going to Europe, I always bring, you know, like cold weather stuff, because, you know, being up in the Alps where we are most of the time, man, the weather changes so quick. So the same can be said for the Rockies too. So I check last minute. I usually see if it's going to be super hot or if it's going to be A-okay. But before Italy, I kind of saw that it was looking like we were just going to be hanging out in rain the whole time. So, yeah, brought lots of rain gear. And we actually got lucky. As much as it seemed like it was really, really bad, it could have been way worse. It was cold and kind of hailing the top, and you know, for what they were calling for, it should have been snowing, but some of the stuff just passed us, and we got some pretty good conditions considering what it was calling for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even if anybody followed what was going on at Mega Avalanche, I seen some pictures over there where mountain bike tires look like they're about 8 inches deep, and tires weren't rolling through the frame because the mud was so thick. So yeah, you guys definitely lucked out at the last round there. So hopefully things
that,
stay.
That did not look fun.
No, that did not look. That is, I don't know if I could get paid to want to go walk my bike down the hill off a glacier for hours upon hours. That does not look like something that's high on my list of priorities. So, but so yeah, I mean, Winter Park coming up, and then obviously the big kind of race of the year, of course, Crankworx Whistler and the EWS coming here. So it's two races on your home soil. Especially, we know Whistler's been Crankworx always has been good to you back in the downhill days. Maybe hasn't been the nicest to you last year with the EWS. You coming back looking for a little revenge this year after, look, you know, in the hunt up in that top 10 there until that final stage?
Yeah, last year going in the final stage, I think I was fifth. So, yeah, you know, shit happens. I got a flat, so that's racing. I'm just going to do the same thing and just go fast and do what I've been doing all year. You know, it's the level competition is really high, so you can't make any mistakes. It's basically World Cup racing on trail bikes. So I'm just going to enjoy myself out there. Hopefully the tracks are good. Knowing Whistler, I mean, you really can't go wrong. So all the valley trails, and we'll be finishing the top of the world. That's what I hear, but that's all I've heard so far.
You want me to spin up the rumor machine for you?
I love rumors.
I'm pretty sure we're racing Crank It Up, just for everybody listening. We're back on Crank It Up and Lost Lake Lap, so get ready for it.
If we race Crank It Up, Jared Graves is going to smoke us all by like 20 seconds. So might as well just give the first half of the race to Jared.
Yeah.
I remember 2012 when we raced that and we had to do Crank It Up, and had an awesome run. And Jared smoked all of us by some ridiculous margin. I don't know what it was, but I think I was like a third or something. He smoked Jerome, Atherton, and I, but like, oh man, I don't know what it was. It was like 10 seconds over the course of 5 minutes or 15 seconds to just, you know, crank it up and straight forward. You have nowhere else to go. And he just,
yeah,
being like four cross skills, he just blew right past us. It was humbling.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy to watch in action. He's very crazy to watch in action, especially down there. I mean, thankfully, I've never raced Crank It Up since that day, and I hopefully will never, ever have to race that track ever again. I've never been so terrified in my life. coming into berms way quicker than I would like to be, and jumps that are meant for full-blown beginners as we go to flat on the other side. So it's
super sketchy.
It's sketchy. But, yeah, no, there's I've heard a few things, and I mean it's pretty easy with Whistler. There's four corners of it, and there's a big descent off all four corners, and then there's the bike park. So it's already dry and dusty and blown out though. It's the valley's pretty dry at the moment. So hopefully a little rain comes before August, and that'll make things a lot better for us. So
no rain. Dry and dusty and blown out. That's the way I like it.
Okay. Well, agree to disagree. We'll go from there. I want to touch on one thing though, and actually I got a chance to work with you on it. But let's talk about On Track, not to be confused with Off Track, but On Track, the web series that you're working with on Red Bull. How have things been going this year in terms of reception of the series and viewers? And I know a lot of fans, if anybody's been watching it, a lot of people come up to you and are stoked on it. So it's a pretty cool thing to see.
Yeah, like Red Bull wanted to do something different. Not your crazy, typical hooligan show, and anyways, so they wanted to kind of be more behind the scenes, and this is Red Bull's way of getting some of the EWS out there to the masses, and you know, they're kind of experimenting with it. So there's a motocross series called Behind the Dream, and I wouldn't say it's exactly like that, but that was kind of the idea. So it's been good, it's been well received. I think people either love it or hate it, which is great, because everyone's entitled to opinion, but it's different. So, like, you know, I get messages all the time via Instagram, Facebook, and people love it, and also there's haters, so, which is awesome.
But they still watch it, though. They hate on it, but they still watch it and follow it. That's the scary thing.
Which is great, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. So it's good, man. You know, it's they involve a lot of other writers. They made it very clear that I didn't want it to be about me. I mean, tell my story, whatever, but bring the other people into it, like Jerome Clements, who's amazing. He's a good human being, and he's so good for the sport. So they involve him, and, you know, anywhere from Mark Mays to Dan Atherton to Jesse to a bunch of people. So I think it's good for everyone. Just helping the sport in general. And I think everyone's pretty stoked on it. So it's different. It's hard for people. They're waiting for, you know, like a backflip or something else, but it's not about that, obviously. So, but yeah, I think it's still catching on, and people are starting to figure out what it's all about.
Yeah, I think it brings, like you said, you're talking about Behind the Dream. I think it brings a legitimate aspect to the sport. It's not over the top serious, but it's, you know, not your typical edit where you insert trendy music and you know, people pushing bikes up hills and everything else that's out there. And like you said, people seem to either love it and they enjoy following it, or the haters hate on it, but yet they still and eagerly anticipate it every 2 weeks when it comes out. So.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's so serious that they had my 8-pound chihuahua in it in the last episode. So, how about that?
Yeah, it's great. I can't wait to see the next one come out next week, and just the rest of them unfold throughout the rest of the year. So, well, I think what we're gonna do, we're gonna let you go. We know you've this is kind of your last day in sunny California there to pack before you head out to the mountains of Colorado. So. Definitely all the best next weekend, and we look forward to seeing what you can pull there, and definitely look forward to seeing you when you get back up here to Whistler, and who knows, maybe it'll stay nice and dry and the trails will be extra blown out and be in your favor for Crankworx Whistler.
That would be awesome. I'd be a happy kid.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much, Curtis, for joining us here on Off Track, and all the best next weekend. We'll catch you around.
All right, thanks for having me. We'll talk to you.
And that's a wrap, folks. That is it. That is all from start to finish. What a great show. Big thanks to Windmasters helping us open up the show, co-hosting it there. Jesse Millamid from the Rocky Mountain Urge team. Joey Schusler from the Fox Yeti Racing. And then, of course, Curtis Keene doing it for Red Bull, Specialized, and TLD. What a great show. What a great amount of guests we got going on here. And again, stay up to date with us, off_track MTB. That's us on Twitter. And we'll post our guests, and when the show's ready, subscribe to us on iTunes, Off Track, pre-race show, and again, for free. So who doesn't like free stuff? And we will be on a little bit of hiatus here until our next show. We'll be wrapping up Winter Park, Colorado, and we've already got one guest lined up. So again, hit us up on Twitter if you have a question for him. We've got the man that goes by the name of Jerome Clements. Yes, he is going to be joining us. We'll get him on the horn there, chat, and see how the road to recovery is going and road to total stage domination come finale later on in October. So again, we want to thank everybody for taking the time to tune in, and have yourself a great time, and make sure you get out on the trails.